Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Workplace Safety Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, only because we had a rather scary incident this week at Car Talk Plaza.
We did.
But fortunately, no one was hurt, as you know. But it does serve as a good reminder to everybody that workplace safety is everybody's concern. And maybe sharing what happened and the lessons to be learned from it could save lives or prevent injuries elsewhere in these fine United States or in the world, perhaps.
Well, we'll see, and we'll just tell the little story here.
Yeah.
Anyway, as some of you may know, Car Talk Plaza is a pretty old building, and one might even say dilapidated.
Yeah, that's what I would call it.
And it's what's called a fireproof building, meaning none of the construction materials are flammable. The walls, the floors, the ceilings, everything's made of concrete, which makes it a complete pain in the butt to, like, hang a picture or anything like that.
Anyway, sometime on Friday, the ceiling in Dougie's office, which is made of concrete, of course, came crashing down. It just detached itself from whatever it was that it had been adhering to for the last 100 years.
The previous coat of concrete.
Yeah. And among the rubble was a huge chunk of a concrete ceiling that landed right on Dougie's chair. Had he been sitting there, he would be history today.
He would have been. Actually, I think what would have happened is he would have choked on this piece of concrete because he would have been in the chair lying with his,
his head back and his
mouth open like he usually has.
But luckily,
and this piece of concrete would have gotten lodged in his throat.
Yeah.
That would have been the end of him. But there is a lesson to be learned from all this, and the lesson is beware of work. I mean, had Dougie been more diligent about being at work and showing up at the office, he might not be with us right now, sleeping while we do the show. So let this be a lesson to all of you. Don't go to work if you don't have to. It's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, we've known that for years.
And it's dangerous to call us, but you can do it anyway. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Leslie from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, Leslie. Aren't you happy that Dougie's still with us?
I'm very happy. It almost makes me think I shouldn't have come to work then.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, Leslie?
I have a 95 Volkswagen Jetta.
Uh-huh.
And lately when I use the air conditioner, it usually won't start right away, but after a couple minutes, smoke will come out through the vents. And it's not a black smoke, and it doesn't smell like anything's burning. It's more like a white smoke.
Does this happen every time you turn on the air conditioning?
No, not every time. It's like almost every other time.
Is it in any way related to the weather?
I don't know.
I do.
That's why I'm calling.
No, I think it's related to the weather, because when it's very, very humid, what you're seeing there is fog.
Okay.
That's why it doesn't have a color. It's kind of whitish.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's whitish. It doesn't have any smell.
Mm-hmm. Looks like clouds, in fact.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep, that's it.
So it's nothing to really be worried about?
Well, it might not be anything to worry. Well, it's certainly nothing to worry about. It might not be anything more serious than what happens sometimes when the air conditioner can't handle humidity that's 100%.
Okay.
Okay, and it may be that it's just condensing it, some of that moisture back into clouds, you know, or back into something that looks like a cloud, and it's coming out the vents. It's also possible that the water that the air conditioner is removing from the car is not dripping out onto the ground, but staying stuck in the evaporator, and maybe that's what you're seeing.
Okay.
You're seeing some of that water. But I think Tommy's right. I think it has to do with the fact that when you're running the thing in extreme humidity situations, like rain, you know, if it's raining and it's hot, that's when it almost always happens.
Okay.
So, not to worry.
Okay, I was afraid I was breathing in fumes or something and didn't know it.
Well, no. Do you notice you're feeling stupider lately?
Well, that might be for other reasons.
Yeah, you called us.
See you
All
later,
right, well,
Leslie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, an easy question.
888-CAR-TALK.
Please have 10 more of those.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brian from Boulder, Colorado.
From Boulder?
Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, I've got this car. It's a 88 Honda Accord. And actually, my colleague, who's another physicist out here, has a similar problem with his 95 Pontiac Sunfire, which makes the whole thing more mysterious to us. This is what it does. When it's cold out...
Wait a minute. You have a physicist friend who's driving a Pontiac Sunfire?
Hey, believe it or not.
Is business that bad in the physics world?
No, no.
And you're driving an 88. You guys must be college professors.
No, no. We work at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. We are G-men.
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 Yeah.
Oh.
And what do you do at the National Institute of Standards and Technology? You make sure an ounce is an ounce?
That's one thing people do here. People here make sure a second is a second. But
oh, these guys make sure the atomic clocks are keeping time.
Yeah. Well, we actually work on something different. We work on building a quantum computer.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
For which they pay you enough to afford an 88 a core.
Well, this is actually my wife's car that I...
No need to explain anything, Brian.
We're going to change the subject. It's my wife's car, actually.
Knowing what little I know about quantum mechanics, does this mean when you put a question into this computer, it comes back and says, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Well, and the little inner workings of it, that's what goes on. But in the end, you hope it spits out a real answer.
Ah, okay.
But it uses that.
But
inside.
Somewhere along the way, it says, it could be, maybe not.
Yeah, we'll make something up.
Yeah, if you get enough maybes, then you go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, anyway, we've beaten that topic enough. What can we do for you?
Well, okay, this 88 Honda Accord, I start the car. This occasionally happens. I'll drive about 100 feet. The car stalls. Okay, then I go to turn the key to restart the car. There's power, but the starter motor won't turn.
What do you mean when you say there's power?
There's power. So the radio will come on, the heat will come on.
Right. In other words, even though the car is stalled, everything that had been running, except for the engine,
is still running.
The wipers would be running, the lights would be on, et cetera. So
everything
the battery.
That still works in that car.
Everything that was working when you started it, right.
Right.
And when you first started it before this happened, before you left the house,
right.
It started right up.
It starts right up.
And does it always stall when you go that few blocks?
Not always. This is on a cold morning. It happens to, for example, this morning it happened to me, but it may happen once or twice a week if the whole week is cold.
Does it ever happen that it stalls and does restart?
Sometimes it will restart, but more likely than not, it stalls, it won't restart. But here's the thing.
Go ahead.
It'll always start if you put the car in neutral, put your foot on the brake, and turn the key.
This is a stick shift.
No. This is an automatic transmission.
Uh-huh.
And when this happens, I hear a clicking sound like a solenoid or a relay from underneath a dash. What's the funny thing is my colleague who has this 95 Pontiac Sunfire,
yeah.
He has a similar problem, actually. So
forget him.
All right.
He's on his own.
All right.
We'll be lucky if we can solve your problem.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have a funny combination of symptoms, and we're suspecting that you're lying to us.
Lying? No.
Well, here's why.
Yeah.
Taking it out of park and putting it into neutral and having it start suggests that the neutral safety switch is defective.
And what that device is, quite simply, is a device that prevents you from starting it unless you're in park or neutral.
I see.
On the other hand, when you say you hear this clicking sound, that suggests that it's the battery.
The battery?
No, because he says that everything is working. I think the clicking sound is not related to this at all.
I think so, too.
I think the clicking
is your
fuel pump relay or something like that.
Right.
Okay.
Which clicks all the time, but you don't hear it because there are other competing noises.
Okay.
In which case, it's a very good shot that it's your neutral safety switch.
I think so, too. And the fact that it stalls is irrelevant. I mean, it would stall no matter what. The stalling has nothing to do with it not restarting.
Okay.
It's stalling for a different reason. And your friend may have the same problem, but...
But it is... I have to say that the other thing that's inconsistent with all of this is that when you first start it in the morning, it starts right up at your house.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's inconsistent with the neutral safety switch being defective, because why does it choose to be defective later? I mean, it could be that it's not really failed, but that the contact is bad.
Well, exactly.
So that once you pull it out of park and put it into a gear and then put it back into park, I'll bet you, here's a bet.
Oh.
I'll bet you $5.
I can take some data.
That next time this happens, if you don't put it into neutral, but you push hard on the shifter so that it's really in park, as you're turning the key, I'll bet you it'll start.
In fact, you can push on the shifter and pull on it. So you can jiggle the shifter back and forth with your right hand while you're turning the
the ignition key
with your toes.
With your toes.
No, you can move the shifter with your left hand, turn the ignition switch to crank as if you're trying to start it, and jiggle the shifter in the park position, and you may find there's one spot where the thing just boom, fires right up.
In which case, forget about it.
Okay.
Right, just make sure if it stalls that you can start it up in neutral.
Okay.
That'll do it.
All right, well, we'll try it.
How much of your company time did you and your coworker spend trying to solve this problem on your own here?
Not too much, you know. We don't know that much about cars, so the thing won't start, and we try various things, and we tried rolling the cars around. And...
Yes, but you know about physics.
Something we know very little about.
And I have been told by physicists, I will admit, that if you know about physics, you know about everything.
Well,
I mean, they say some people are chemists, some people are electrical engineers, but if you know physics, then you know more about chemistry than a chemist. You know more about electricity than an electrical engineer. You know more about everything than anything.
So we'll be calling you from time to time, Brian, when we run into trouble.
Okay.
See you.
Hey, good luck.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Good to know that the government is not squandering its money on these guys that are working, doing nothing.
Figured out why their cars won't start.
If he said he was driving a Lexus, I'd have been worried.
Me too.
Working on a quantum clock.
Quantum computer.
Computer.
Well, they may be onto something. You never know.
Yeah, not this decade.
888-227-8255, a lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Maureen. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Maureen. What's up?
I've got a 1964 Volkswagen Bug that I have an unholy attachment to. It's my first car. It went on fire about a week ago, and my concern is, how could I avoid this happening again?
Sell it.
Let it burn next time. Don't put it
out. Why did you stop it?
I wouldn't mind letting it burn, because I think that might be a fitting end, but I have concern about what it might do to the other cars around it.
Oh, where was the fire?
The fire was in the parking garage at work.
No. What part of the car? What containment area?
It was in the engine area. But
sure.
Apparently the engine wasn't affected. The distributor and a number of other things. I have a mechanic whom I trust implicitly, and he said it can be fixed, so it is being fixed. And it's going to be repainted and hopefully as good as new.
Do you think this was arson, or do you think this was accidental?
No, it wasn't arson, because I turned the car on a few times, and it just didn't start.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I heard, a mini explosion. I looked out the door, and I saw at the back, near the left rear wheel, where there was a flame coming out.
Yeah.
And what alerted you to the fact that something was wrong?
That's right. It's like a champagne pop.
Oh, I see.
I ran and got help, and people came who were very helpful, and they put the fire out. When the fire department came, I asked what happened, and they said they thought a spark from the engine may have ignited a wire.
Oh, yeah, those wires are very flammable. What happened was you had a gasoline leak, Maureen.
Right.
Probably from a leaky fuel line that goes from the fuel pump to the carburetor.
Is this 64 fuel injected or carburetor?
No.
Is that electronic ignition?
So no, we used to set these on fire all the time by accident because the distributor is right below where we had a puzzle where a fellow was tuning up his own Volkswagen and had the distributor cap off and all that and changed the gas filter, and in doing so spilled gasoline into the distributor.
Oh.
Whereupon he finished the tune-up, he put the points and condenser on and the distributor cap and whatever, and turned the engine. Again, he heard a small explosion similar to a champagne cork popping, and lo and behold, his Volkswagen was ablaze. He had the wisdom in this puzzle, if I remember, to just walk away.
Yeah. Well,
and,
I mean, if
well,
he fixed
I ran
it.
Away,
you ran away. That was
back.
Good.
Yeah, if
right.
he did fix
back
it.
With help.
Yeah, when he fixes it, he's going to have to replace the fuel lines because they must be all melted anyway.
And the likelihood of it happening again is, in fact, low.
Well, that's what the mechanic said. He said this is the first time it's happened in 25 years. But,
sure, so another 25 years it might happen again. And this time you should be prepared by making sure you carry with you at all times a bag of marshmallows.
Okay.
No, you need a fire. You need a fire extinguisher, Maureen.
Yes, I plan to get one, and somebody said to bring some packets of baking soda in the car too.
Well, try the fire. If you can't put the fire out in 10 seconds,
run like hell.
Yeah, you don't want it to smell good when it blows up. That's what the baking soda is going to do. Just run.
No, that's why you need the marshmallows. If it doesn't go out in five seconds or
throw
10 seconds...
Throw the bag of marshmallows on it and run.
Get some sticks and get all your friends to gather around and have a little...
No, the truth is that the design of that car is, it is in fact, fire-prone.
That's what I hear.
No, it is, because the coil and the distributor and the fuel filter are all right there, and any kind of a leak can either spray gasoline on the coil or on the distributor, and any errant spark will ignite that gas and set the thing ablaze.
There's no way of putting asbestos or something around the wires, or...
No, it isn't the wires that caught fire. The gasoline caught fire.
I see.
Yeah.
And there's no way to do that.
Don't feel bad. Lots of people have done this.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All righty.
Enjoy your show a lot.
Buy an extinguisher.
Okay, will do.
Everyone should have a fire extinguisher in his or her car. Every single person. And we're selling the special click and clack fire extinguisher along with the Zomfear tapes.
Actually, if you near the beach, you just roll around in the sand. You're going to have a party right there, right?
See, she shouldn't park it inside. She's parking it in an indoor garage. Should be parked at the beach all the time.
Right.
So the next time this happens, you got the marshmallows in the back.
Wiener roast.
That's it.
Okay, Tommy, it's time for a few words from our local stations.
And what might those words be?
How about mid-season replacement? How's that sound?
That's what I was afraid of. We're going to be right back, maybe.
Well, I stopped at a roadhouse in Texas.
Even though the Red Sox cross out the word Boston on their uniforms whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. Finding the right car takes time, and with the new Love Your Car guarantee from CarMax, you can take your time to make sure you found the perfect car for you. Starting with a 24-hour test drive. Drive it to work, school, and the grocery store before you buy, and if it feels right, you've got a full month and 1,500 miles to keep on driving with their new 30-day money-back guarantee. Learn more at the new Love Your Car guarantee from CarMax at CarMax.com.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
NPR's Planet Money Summer School is now in session. Everything you want to know about investing from expert guest professors. New classes every Wednesday till Labor Day in the Planet Money podcast feed.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and killing time at work.
Mm.
Now, our regular listener knows that the Puzzler has been AWOL for several weeks now.
Our regular listener? We only have one listener now? We had six.
We may be down
to what?
To none. We don't know. But should you find yourself in urgent need of a Puzzler, if you suddenly turn to the person next to you and say, "Whoa, I gotta take a Puzzler," here's what you can do. Just go to cartalk.com and we'll provide you with a Car Talk Puzzler from the archives.
Ooh.
And if we're feeling generous, we'll throw in the answer too. So if you're desperate, you're lonely, you have nothing to do, and no one at work will talk to you,
yeah, this is the thing to do.
Visit cartalk.com and get yourself a Puzzler. It will cheer you up. In the meantime, if you want to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Vern calling from Cleveland.
Hi, Vern.
Cleveland.
Yeah, the jewel of Ohio.
Well, it is, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah.
What's up, Vern?
I need your help in a dispute with my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He alleges that I ruined the engine on his minivan by overfilling the oil reserve, the whatever you call it, reservoir.
Yeah.
And what do you want us to do? If he's right, do you want us? Do you want to just like hang up or?
Yeah, we can arrange a quick disconnect. You know.
Okay. It was a couple of weeks ago. My wife went and picked up some of their kids to bring them over to our house for the weekend.
So this is your wife's brother.
My wife's sister's husband.
Oh, it's
oh
even worse.
A double in-law.
Not blood.
Yeah, he means nothing to me.
Right.
He's just joking.
Right, if it were your wife's brother.
Yeah, that's blood.
That would have some serious implications, but he's nobody. In fact, he
he's
could
nobody.
Be out of the picture. And...
Yeah, so your wife goes over to pick up their kids.
Yeah, so she's bringing them back, and it's about an hour drive. And close to home, the oil light comes on.
Wait, she's driving his vehicle?
Yes, sir. It's a 91 Ford Windstar, I believe.
91? It's ready for the boneyard anyway.
Well, yeah.
It is now.
Okay. So she's driving back with the kids.
So, yeah, the oil light comes on pretty close to our house, and the engine is making that clicking noise. You know, it's like a, you know, as opposed to...
Right, you know. Right.
Right.
And how far does your wife continue to drive it at that point?
It was probably a couple, 3 miles.
And the light was on this whole time?
Yes.
Okay, so she gets home, she says, Vern...
Yes, she says, Vern, we that van is out of oil. We got to put some oil in it. And she had actually done her research before I got home, pulled out their owner's manual, and found out that the capacity was 4 quarts of oil.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I see it all coming now. I see it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I open up the hood, and this is where I made my really stupid mistake. I put 4 quarts in.
Did you
exactly.
ever look at the dipstick?
That's the problem.
Oh, you didn't even look at the dipstick?
No, I didn't.
You just assumed it was bone dry.
Yeah,
your wife is the one, however, who told you that.
Yeah.
You just believed her.
I can only fault her partially, you know, because should have known to look at the dipstick.
The dipstick would have been good.
Yeah,
that would have been a good sign. But we may get you off yet.
We might.
No, we don't want you to despair. We sense a little despair in your voice. Yeah, right. So you put 4 quarts in when in fact it needed only 2.
It needed actually none.
It may have needed none.
Yeah, he said that he actually added an extra quart back at home before my wife took it.
Oh, because it was already making noise for him?
Yeah, so it may have already had 5 quarts in it.
And
so,
you put
so
4
up
more
to 9.
In.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you put in the 4 quarts, you turn the key and you start it up, does the noise go away?
Oh, I didn't turn the key right away. It was the next morning.
The next morning, okay.
Yes, it drove fine. The oil light was off, and it even sounded good.
Now, I know why.
It ran okay for maybe, we drove it like 10 miles maybe.
And the noise came back.
Yeah, towards about 9 miles it came back, and the light came on again.
All right. Before your wife set foot in this vehicle,
mm-hmm.
the damage was done. The oil light came on not because it had run out of oil. It came on because the thing has no oil pressure. And it has insufficient oil pressure. And the reason for that is that either the oil pump is bad or the bearings are bad. And the engine needed a rebuild before your wife turned the key and before you added the extra 15 quarts of oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
The oil light doesn't tell you how much oil is in there. It tells you how much oil pressure, right? And you could have no oil pressure if you have no oil. But you can also have no oil pressure if you got oil.
Right, and
the
oil pressure
case.
Will decrease as the oil gets hot and thins out, because thinner oil has lower viscosity and will cause the oil pressure to drop. So when you first started the thing up in the morning, you had great oil pressure, and it took a long time for that oil to heat up and thin out because you had so much of it in there. So that's why you were able to go those 9 miles. But his engine was done for, and he knows that because he put oil in it. You, in my book, Vern, you are 100%, well, no, you get points deducted for being a bonehead and not checking the dipstick.
Yes.
But you didn't do any further damage to it.
Wait, has he accused you of anything here?
Yeah, he's sort of been blaming it on me. So
he's suggesting that the engine got ruined because it was overfilled.
Yeah.
No.
Au contraire.
Okay. He's a sleazeball. I think you should drum him out of the family.
He's nothing to you, Vern.
He's not nothing.
He's not your brother. He's not your brother-in-law. He's not your sister-in-law. He's nobody. And he's wrong besides. You are completely 100% innocent as
by
is
the, by
your
the
wife.
Way, I should mention for the vast majority of people who don't know this, when your engine light or your oil light rather comes on, not the engine light, but the oil light, you can't drive 2 miles home.
Okay.
Yeah. That is, if there was nothing wrong when before the light came on, you can rest assured that by the time you've gotten home with it, that you need an engine.
Okay.
You can't drive with the oil light on at all. If you're on the highway in the left-hand lane, get over into the breakdown lane as quickly as you can. But if otherwise, and then shut the engine off and get it towed.
Hold on here.
What?
You had a Dodge Caravan once. And I remember you had a similar situation that you were driving along and the oil light came on. And
oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
And as I remember, your thinking at the time was, I can pull over now and I would have an engine that was half ruined. Whereas, if I keep driving, I will have an engine which is completely ruined, and it's under warranty.
Well, you know, I think that was pretty good thinking on my part. If it's your pocket, if you're right. concerned about your pocketbook, then you want to pull over right off. But if it's under warranty, you'd never want them to say, we found that 15-cent piece that failed, and we replaced it, and these are the words that always scare you. You should be all right from now on.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that if anything happens. I remember I was in the left-hand lane.
There was a lot of smoke involved, I remember.
Smoke pouring out. the car. I had 7,000 miles on the engine. Yeah. And I said, my first reaction, because I'd never owned a new car before. My first reaction was, pull. No, I won't. Why should I pull over right away? Why should I endanger my children?
Of course.
And my wife and myself.
Yeah.
I'll take my sweet time getting over to that breakdown lane.
I think I'll throw it in low gear and rev up that baby up to 7,000 or 8,000 RPM.
Three exits later, I finally pulled off the highway, and the engine was so hot, it was glowing.
And but I turned it was under warranty.
It was under warranty.
I thought Chrysler was very nice to have given you a new engine.
They were. Well, no, they owed me one because, in fact, that engine was defective.
Yeah.
So that's a lesson for everyone.
But in general,
if you're under warranty, don't worry.
Don't even slow down. Vern, thanks a million for calling.
Thank you, guys.
Tell that deadbeat brother-in-law of yours to get lost.
And don't forget, he's nobody, man.
He's nobody.
See you later.
He's bye-bye. Nothing to me. I like that. He's nothing to me.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. He's not really Vern's brother-in-law.
Well, he is, isn't he? Is your sister-in-law's husband your brother-in-law is the question.
I don't know. We need the, what do we need? What do you call those
An
guys?
Ornithologist. We need an ornithologist.
Anyway, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
All right, an entomologist.
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jeannie from Chicago.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, I have a Plymouth Horizon with 94,000 miles on it, and I'm getting a rumbling in the back.
Yeah, you know what that is?
What is it?
It's one of your kids.
No.
Let him out.
Anyone who's been driving around in a Horizon for 94,000 miles deserves to grumble.
It's a wonderful car.
It is a wonderful car.
Oh, bull. Come on.
Does yours hesitate and stall in the rain?
No.
It doesn't?
No.
Then you don't have a real Chrysler.
No.
Anyway, let me tell you about the rumbling.
Yeah.
It started maybe 4 months ago or so, and I can stand it because I don't hear it anymore, but all my friends refuse to ride in my car. It's really kind of getting louder and louder, and it used to be only at real slow speeds in the city. But now it's starting to rumble when I'm out on the highway, too, going 60 miles an hour.
Oh.
And I took it to a muffler man who couldn't find any problem. Then I took it to
But did they sell you a new muffler?
Huh?
Did they sell you a new muffler at least?
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
Oh, they missed an opportunity.
Oh, they got to lose their franchise, man. Did you spend any money?
No, not at all.
What kind of a place was
this? Never mind.
Was it a Midas or a Meineke or a Speedy? What was it?
I think it was a Midas?
He's out of business.
He's hurt him right
He's
in.
He's done for. You drove in and out and didn't spend any money?
Right.
No shocks? You didn't buy any shocks?
Nothing.
Brakes?
Nothing.
No body work?
No, that was a supermarket parking lot. That's where you get the body work.
Oh, sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
In any event, what made you go to the muffler shop?
Well,
if
I
it's a grumbling.
It sounded like a muffler to me, except it was louder than a muffler problem.
Can you simulate this noise?
I'm going to make the noise because I know people that call are often embarrassed to make noises
right.
over
they're,
the air. But
they're,
I'm
they're
beyond
a,
that.
They're ashamed to make fools of themselves, but you're not.
But I've proven myself to be a fool long before this.
Right.
The noise you get, you have to be in motion to get the noise. Is that correct, Gene?
No.
Oops, oh, there goes that idea, Frank.
Well, I think you...
If you just sit in neutral and you rev up the engine, you'll hear it go...
Even when I'm not in neutral, I can push the gas and it will still rumble, even though I'm not moving. I just have the clutch in.
The clutch is in?
Yes. Yeah.
You're in any kind of a gear, and the noise sounds like it's coming from the back?
Oh, definitely.
It's definitely coming from the back.
And I took it to another guy, and he said, oh, I know what it is.
You have a loose baffle in the muffler.
What's your language?
That's what you have. Is that what he said?
It was. The cover that goes over the catalytic converter is loose.
It could be.
He said he could either take it off and it would rust all out, or I could leave it on and put up with the rumbling. And I don't know if I believe him.
It's easy enough to figure out. First of all, that noise is not coming from the back of the car. That's coming more from the middle. In fact, that converter would be right under the passenger's feet.
Right.
Well, I'll have to ask my next passengers what they say.
Well, if you remove the heat shield, their feet will be warmer because the heat shield is designed to keep that heat that the converter is generating from warming up the floor and melting the carpet.
In the case of this car, it doesn't matter what
melts. You need the heat shield. Don't remove the heat shield, but the heat shield can be fixed.
Oh.
You can have it fixed.
If that's what it is, except I would not describe the noise that a heat shield makes as rumbling.
It's more like a rattling.
Well,
like
I would describe it as rattling.
You can sometimes get it to go away, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't let him put words in your mouth, Jeannie.
No, no. I can't get it to go away, but sometimes it doesn't come.
Hmm.
Sometimes it isn't.
There's no rhyme or reason to it, and I'm sick of it, kind of.
Yeah, well, you can play around with it a lot, but you will not be able to tell where the noise is coming from. You've got to bring it back to take it.
Don't take it back to the Midas place, because they're not interested
right,
in
they're
money.
Obviously not interested. Right. They've written you off as a deadbeat. If they didn't try to sell you shocks, I would look in the mirror. Something's wrong with you, Gene. I don't know what could be wrong
with
you.
Well, here's what you have to do.
You want to bring it to
do
someone
you have a regular
who...
mechanic? No.
No.
Oh, everyone
right.
should have no a regular mechanic.
No one in Chicago
mechanic.
Will work on this car anymore.
Probably.
Well,
someone has to get underneath the car while you rev it up.
Wait a minute. When I went to Midas, though, it would not make the noise.
Well, that's why the guy couldn't figure it out. You have to give him the... Give them the benefit of a second chance.
Well,
go back.
I can't make it make the noise.
Well, you have to go back sometime when it's making the noise.
Yeah, but I did. It was making the noise all the way there, and then it got there, it wouldn't make the noise.
Well, that's not his fault.
Well, I know, but
well,
it's not
whose
my
fault,
fault
is
either,
it?
So get out of my butt.
No, you have to go. I'm not worried about it. First of all, if the noise is that intermittent, I'm not worried. I tend to believe it is, in fact, the loose heat shield.
Okay.
But you have to get it into some place. You don't have to go back to this particular place. The next time it's making the noise... Drive it to like a...
Whatever you happen to be driving past, pull in.
Right, 7-Eleven, anything.
7-Eleven, restaurant.
Yeah.
And okay,
say,
I will.
Crawl underneath, have someone crawl underneath, rev it up, and it'll be very easy to tell whether it's in fact coming from a loose baffle in the muffler, whether the tailpipe is rattling against something, whether the heat shield is rattling against something. But you can't tell from inside the car.
Okay.
And what they'll do is they'll push on the heat shield, and if the noise changes or goes away, then that's in fact what it is. Then they have to tack weld it to the converter, and you'll be all set for another 75 or 80,000 miles of trouble-free, happy driving.
Okay.
This is the only problem? This is the most imaginative problem you can come up with?
It's really been great.
What kind of an MG did you own before this, before you got this Horizon?
Nothing. This is my first car.
Oh, geez. Are you comparing it to walking? Of course it's great. Stalls every 3 blocks when it rains.
No, it does not stall when it rains.
Does not stall in the rain.
Really? It's been a really great car.
Gee, I'm happy for you, Jeannie. That, you know, this is testimony to the life that you have led. You have led a life of purity and goodness.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you have. I mean, it's clear, because if you had done anything in the slightest way that was depraved, this car would have taken it out on you.
Right.
I mean,
just,
I know real
but
good
Jeannie,
people.
Just in case, don't press your luck. Don't buy another one.
Yeah, buy a nice Japanese car and go out and have a hell of a time.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, I think it's time we take a little break so we can regroup.
let me get this. By regroup, you mean we put our heads together, we think of new ways to solve people's car problems?
No, I mean literally regroup. I'm going into the other room with the Bugsy and the Berman group to get away from you.
Fine, fine. We'll be back in just a minute.
You got Sally and you got Sue, and I got a Chevrolet. She takes me home after work, don't ever miss a day. She don't care what I am, she don't care what I ain't. But she ain't no cheap pickup haul, she just needs a couple coats of paint. I love my truck, it's right outside. I ain't got much luck, but I sure got a ride. Don't matter who lived, it don't matter who lied. I've got my truck right by my side. Yeah.
And even though NPR's accountant moves Car Talk into the liability column whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and higher education, evidently.
Yes, higher education. This came from Tom Goodell. And it says, I thought Tom and Ray might be interested in a few highlights from the book Non-Campus Mentis, World History According to College Students. This is a book. And here are some excerpts, and I will try to pick out a couple of these are things.
Beauties?
These are beauties. These are college students. Remember, now, these are college students who said this. And we don't know what the context was, usually a test of some kind. History, a record of things left behind by past generations, started in 1815. Thus, we should try to view historical times as the behind of the present. This gives insight, I-N-C-I-T-E.
Well, that's...
into the annals, A-N-A-L-S, of this past. That's good. If you were paying tuition for this kid, wouldn't you be happy?
Well, imagine how bad he was before he went to college.
Civilization woozed out, W-O-O-Z-D-E-D, of the Nile about 300,000 years ago. The Nile was a river that had some water in it. Every year it would flood and irritate the land.
Probably did that too.
Judaism, J-U-D-Y-I-S-M, Judaism, was the first monolithic religion. It had one big god named Yahu. Oh, man.
Yahu,
Julius Caesar inspired his men by stating, I came, I saw, I went. When he was assassinated, A-S-S-I-N-A-T-D. When he was assassinated.
That's worse than being assassinated. Assassinated, man, that's painful.
He is reported to have said, me too, Brutus. Without the discovery of the flying buttock, it would have been impossible to build the Gothic cathedrals.
Exactly. Who was going to go up that high?
Here's a comment regarding the Black Plague. Death rates in some towns exceeded 100%.
Get out.
Oh, man. The civil rights movement in the USA turned around the corner with Martin Luther Jr.'s famous If I Had a Hammer speech.
If I had a hammer.
Well, I can see that these excerpts are abounding with good intentions.
Abounding. Well, they are. I mean, and they're all based on something. Without the flying buttock.
Well, isn't it the flying buttockses?
Yeah, I thought it should have been plural, too.
Oh, God. Well, look, if you're waiting for a new puzzler, it'll be several weeks before we can coax the puzzler back onto the show.
I remember when I was a college professor.
Yes.
I remember giving a D to a student, and I actually got a phone call from her father one day. And he was quite irate that I had given her a D. Now, this D was a real gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to him, I said, he was a doctor, I remember. I said, look, doctor, I understand how you feel, and I know you're paying a lot of money to send your daughter to this expensive university. But trust me, I've taught for many years, and the D was really a gift. And I said, to be honest, just between you and me, your daughter just isn't too bright. And he said, you know, I knew that. So I guess if, you know, she might have written one of these. She might have written all of them.
Yeah, well, they're deserving of D's.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what the heck? Anyway, so I started.
Socrates again? Was accused of sophomorism and sentenced to die of hemorrhoids.
We've accused Berman of sophomorism.
Hey, look, and we don't hold it against them.
If you're waiting for a new puzzler, it'll be several weeks before we can coax the puzzler back onto the show. I'm sure you know that. But in the meantime, if you need a fix, you can go to our website, cartalk.com, and we're posting a classic archival puzzler there every week.
I thought it was arch rival.
That too. Until our no-good lazy puzzler returns. And speaking of no-good and lazy, if you have a question about your car, our number is still 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Pat in Tulsa, America.
Hey, how you doing, good. Pat?
Doing very well, thank you.
Hey, Pat, what is a Texas rolling stop?
A rolling stop?
Yeah.
That's when you approach a stop sign at 40 and glance both ways, and you say, I've been doing this for 20 years, and everybody in the county knows it, and you don't even slow down.
Yeah, okay. That's just the definition we were looking for.
Just checking to see if you are really from Tulsa.
Yes.
Okay.
But
what's
Tulsa
up?
Tulsa is in Oklahoma, guys.
We know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why you call it a Texas stop, because you guys all do it in Tulsa.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So what
but
can we do
only
for you?
Out on the range, you understand.
We know that.
Of course. Yeah.
So what's happening?
My lady has a 91 Toyota Celica. And at highway speed, sometimes it whistles. Just a monotone whistle.
Like blowing over the top of a soda pop bottle.
Yes, except it's higher pitched than that.
It's higher pitched than that, like a piccolo.
Well, not a flute. Call it a high note on a flute.
Yeah.
And it sometimes it's there and sometimes it isn't. It might last 20 seconds. It might last 20 minutes.
Hmm.
No kidding.
Well, what I would do, have you ever tried a little experimentation to find out where it's coming from? Well,
no,
for example.
It does not happen at low enough speed that we can really tell where it's from. I'm satisfied it's from outside the car.
Yeah. I mean, what it's probably from, I've had to guess, is the doors.
The door?
Yeah. The doors, one of the doors is probably not closing absolutely right, and it's probably getting a little wind rushing through it and getting a nice little whistle. Could even be a window.
He's got wind going through his brain.
I think so, sir.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely correct, because if it were at a door or a window, I would hear it much more distinctly. It sounds very definitely as if it's from outside the compartment.
Oh, now you tell me. After you let me make a fool of myself by telling you it's the door.
Wasn't that fun, though?
Now you tell me it's not even anywhere.
Your brother loved it.
Yeah, I did. I'll tell you what it's likely to be. It's likely to be a piece of trim, you know, one of the chrome pieces or one of the body moldings or some such thing that's setting up this little vibration and making the whistle. That's what I think it is.
All right, you're never going to find it. No, Pat, you're going to have to lash yourself to the hood of this car. And she's going to have to go at 60, 70 miles an hour, do a couple of Texas rolling stops, and you'll be able to lean over the front and pinpoint this noise for her. How else can you do it?
You'll never find it. You should.
Would you believe that I don't care that much?
No, I can, is it driving her crazy?
No, it drives me crazy because when we're on the highway, the lady has me drive the car.
Oh.
And it will last for a long time, and once it begins, it'll last for hours?
No. It might last for a minute or two. It might last for 15 or 20 minutes, but then it goes away.
And when you change speeds, it does not have any effect on the sound?
Oh, sure.
As long as I'm still at highway speed, it has no effect. Once I slow down to, I'll say, 45, maybe 40.
Yeah, the stop signs.
It goes away.
It goes away. And if
but it's the same intensity. It's, say, 70 and 40 and the same frequency?
Yes.
I have no idea what it is.
Check the doors. I think it's the door.
Jeez, I don't know. This is a doozy. Well, I'm gonna tell you that you're not gonna find this easily. Either it's gonna be something trivial, or you never find it.
Yes.
He knows that. This is why. Isn't it interesting? This is one of those problems which is not enough to make you spend a lot of money to get rid of it, but you will spend a lot of money when they take you away to the home.
Yeah.
Because you're wacko from having listened to the noise for 2 years.
I'll tell you, I remember some years ago we had a customer whose car was making a similar kind of noise at speeds of about 40 or 50 miles an hour.
See, I would never hear him.
You know.
I don't go that fast.
And he had taken this thing to a few places and nobody could figure it out. And I drove it and you could hear it whether the windows were open or not. You know, obviously eliminating the possibility that it was
the
window.
The windows, yeah.
And I happened to be driving it one day, and the noise was there, and it sounded like it was coming from the front of the car. And it turned out to be the roof rack. I, by accident, put my hand out the window and put it on the roof rack. And when I did that, I could feel the roof rack vibrating and making the whistling noise. And the tubes of the roof rack were acting as a piccolo or a flute or whatever.
Isn't that an interesting
little
story?
Isn't that a cute little story?
Isn't that
And I went
nice
back story. To the garage and I pried that thing off with a crowbar. But it just goes to show you that where you think the noise is coming from may not be where it's coming from. It could be coming from a lot of peculiar places. You're
going
to have to go and tape things up and experiment with it and see if you can get it to disappear.
Tape nothing. Either change girlfriends or turn up the radio.
There you go. See you later, Pat.
I love your show. It is fantastic.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. This is Wendy from Washington, D.C.
Wendy.
Yes.
Is it Wendy or Windy?
Windy.
No,
W-E-N-D-Y.
Wendy is Chicago.
Wendy. No, they call my brother Windy. Well, we won't discuss that polite company.
So you're not a politician or a lawyer, are you, Wendy?
No, I'm not. I'm Excellent. A grad student.
Grad student.
Studying law?
I'm doing business, my MBA.
Oh, that's even worse.
Really?
All right, but we'll talk to you anyway.
Okay, thanks.
All right, what's shaking?
Well, I have a problem with a 1970 VW Beetle.
Yeah.
It's been sitting in my parents' garage.
For how long?
For about 2 years now.
Oh.
So my idea, just kind of off the top of my head, was that, oh, I could fly out and I could drive back the car and I'd have this cute little car and putt around the city.
Where do they live?
They live in Wichita, Kansas.
Forget
what
it.
Are you, nuts?
Impossible.
You're going to fly to Wichita and you think you're going to make it back to Washington, D.C.?
Okay,
with
well, that was my question. Do you think it'll make it or do you think it's worth it?
How close are you
no
to getting your degree?
No.
What?
How close are you to obtaining?
1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah?
So.
I don't think you're ready yet.
Well, she's not. She didn't take that course.
Did you take the decision-making course yet?
Did you do the decision? I'm a thrifty person.
I'd rather drive that car than have it be sitting in the garage. And my parents, see, they don't want to sell the car.
Here's the deal. It is very unlikely that you'll make it back from Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
to Washington, D.C. And it seems like a good idea, but it really isn't a very good
okay
idea.
On the other hand, in the words of the immortal Warner Oland.
Ah,
Yes.
You or could, Sidney Toler.
You could die of boredom.
No, no.
By not taking any chances.
Well, it's often attributed to Confucius, but I believe it was Sidney Toler who played Charlie Chan in the movies. Yeah. The world's longest journey begins with a single step. So you could try driving from
so
like...
So it could be kind of like a, you know, an odyssey. I could make
what if you made it from Wichita to Topeka? Is that the wrong direction?
No, it's
that's
know,
the right direction, isn't
relatively
it?
Relatively speaking, the right direction.
Yeah, if you did that...
Then you'd have proven...
Turn around and go right back.
You'd have proven that the car could go that far.
If it can go a little distance,
and if you can extrapolate, if it can go 50 miles, why can't it go 500?
Right.
In 50-mile increments.
Sure.
So I would take little trips with it and hobble your way across the country.
And don't ever mention the fact that you're going to go all the way to D.C.
Not in the car.
The well, car what, won't know. The car the thinks you're going, hey, you say, hey, hon, let's hop down to the supermarket and buy a quarter of vanilla ice cream. The car says, I can do that. That's nothing.
And the way you convey this to the car is you never put more than $2 worth of gas in the tank
right,
at a time.
So it's kind of from gas station to gas station.
I think that's what you have to do. You have to fool the car and then say, surprise, we're in Washington.
And it'll fall apart.
I mean, you've got the rest of the summer to do this because we know you're just goofing off in Washington.
That's true. So, okay, it would take a long time.
No, here's my alternative, and I think you will find it interesting, enlightening, and charming.
Okay.
Tow it back.
You hire a teenager to drive. No, you hire
perfect.
A company to flatbed it to Washington.
I thought about that,
because,
but I thought it would be so expensive.
No.
Well, first of all, it's not that expensive. Don't forget, you still have to buy a one-way ticket to Kansas, which they're going to charge the dickens out of you for.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you can do that for less than the airplane ticket, I will bet you.
And right. For less time. You'll be sitting in your apartment, and the doorbell will ring.
And the guy says, your car is here, madam.
The car will say, Candy Graham.
And your car I've brought the car around, madam.
And I think
say,
the advantage
fine.
Of this is you can stick your father. Why pay the repair bills all the way across the country where you can have dad fix up the car before it leaves Kansas?
That's the plan, see.
And you won't have to spend that very boring weekend with mom and dad.
And that 2 weeks driving from
hey, my
Kansas.
My parents listen to the show. Like,
yeah, well, it's better to be upfront.
See you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You have squandered another precious hour of summer listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blooper. And hello, sir. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Tipperary, Loganberry, Horace Sherry, Stuffed Canary, Rainier Sherry, Bloody Mary, Ben & Jerry Confectionery, and low-fat, dairy-free lunch ferry, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted, of course, by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Tom's beard cleaner is Emil in itself. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the double-parked deputy assistant deans in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.